But the point here is, if I had done that to you, what thoughts were going through your mind? You know, yes, I'm not the normal preacher. I'm just filling in for Zach. But I've had 2 weeks to have this lesson together. Thoughts going through your mind were, why weren't you prepared? Or if you're not going to be prepared, you know, have it set up where somebody else could be prepared. And so many times when you and I come to worship here, what amount of preparedness are we getting ourselves in? We expect Zach to. He brings us three lessons. He studies, honestly, more than any preacher I've ever been involved with on a week-to-week basis to put those three lessons together for us. What are we doing to prepare ourselves for this worship service every single week? And I'll tell you, I am guilty. I'm guilty at times of, from the time I left last Sunday to the time I got up and made it this morning, that at times I did nothing to prepare other than roll out of bed, clean myself up, and get clothes on and get in the pew. I am guilty, and I think we all are at times. But what excuses do we make? The excuses I started off with. Life's too busy. I got too much going on. Work's very demanding. Family life is very demanding. Maybe I stayed up late Saturday. Maybe the time changed. And if you honestly missed first service because the time changed, I'm sorry. That's happened to probably all of us at one point in our lives, and if it hasn't happened, it probably will. Cell phones have taken a lot of that out, though. You know, your cell phone alarm automatically changes time for you. So, but really, think of all of the different excuses we make of why we don't prepare ourselves spiritually. And like I said, I will definitely pat Zach on the back, and he's not here to hear it, but he prepares very well for the lessons. And I feel like not only do we owe it to him, but we owe it to ourselves, we owe it to one another, and we owe it to God to be mentally, spiritually prepared. Did you spend more time getting your physical body ready this morning to be here than you did your spiritual body? And I think a lot of times that's the case. A lot of times, and I'm not one that stands in front of the mirror, but a lot of times I spend more time getting physically ready for you to see me than I do spiritually ready to encourage and build you up and myself. And when it comes to the worship service, when it comes to praying to God, studying God's inspired word, singing praises to him, and the Lord's Supper, what are we doing to ourselves? When we sit here and allow ourselves to be 1,000 miles away, what are we doing to ourselves and to one another? Well, for one thing, for the Lord's Supper, Paul says in the letter to Corinthians that we are drinking condemnation to ourselves if we are not concentrating on what needs to be concentrated on there. So, again, we come up with multiple excuses. In a court of law, an excuse is defined as this. It says, a defense in which a defendant argues that he or she was not liable for his or her actions at the time the law was broken, thus not liable for the crime. That might work in a court of law. You might actually have a true excuse that you could convince the jury, or you could convince the judge that you're excused. But when it comes to our walk with God, I don't think such excuses exist. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we're going to read verses 9 and 10. 2 Corinthians 5, 9 and 10. Therefore also we have as our ambition, whether at home or absent, to be pleasing to him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. This does not sound like to me that there's going to be an opportunity on Judgment Day for us to present excuses to God. You are going to be rewarded or punished for your deeds here on this earth, and it's not going to be a question and answer period, and there's not going to be a jury or your peers that would say, yeah, I can see that being a valid excuse. I don't see an opportunity for excuses. And we make so many excuses in life for so many things. But this is not an opportunity here where we can do that. Oftentimes, you know, if one of our children gets in trouble, we get on to them something. One of the most common things they'll say? They'll start off with but you know, so-and-so did this, or but so-and-so caused me to do this. When we stand before the judgment seat of God, there will be no buts. We can't blame this on somebody else. We can't blame it on our life being too busy, because we're the ones that are making our lives too busy. So we also look at James chapter 4. James chapter 4. You know, like I was saying, a lot of times when we get on to small children, their excuses are for things that they've done wrong. A lot of times our excuses are for things that we've done wrong. But when we study sin in the Bible, it's not always sins of commission or sins that we commit. Many times it's sins of omission, things that we omit from our lives that we should be doing and that we do not. James 4:17 says, therefore, to one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin. And as far as my life as a Christian, I make more excuses for the things that I don't do than the sins that I do commit, I think. This last couple of weeks, I have not gone to visit Tommy McJunkins when he was in the hospital or at home, and I haven't picked up a phone. I haven't seen our brother Ronnie. And these are things that I should have done as a brother in Christ, that I should have talked to them, encouraged them, checked on them, visited them in the hospital, and I did not. And my reasons are the same excuses I introduced the lesson with. Life's busy, there's things going on, and I don't have an excuse for that. I really should have been there for them and should be there for them, and I have not. Because I've let other things get in the way of my Christian walk. And as I mentioned earlier, as far as being spiritually prepared for worship, there are times where I've been 1,000 miles away, sitting where you're sitting, and not been spiritually prepared. Zach, last week, he hit on Hebrews 10, so let's look over there. Hebrews 10, verses 24 and 25 said, and let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. If you remember last week in Zach's lesson, and for those of you who are visiting with us or were not with us, we were discussing this scripture and the fact that we can be absent or forsaken the assembling, even though we're sitting here in this chair. Even though we're here, we can be so disconnected from our brethren that we are not stimulating one another, that we are not spiritually on fire, and we are gaining something from the service and input into the service. And he made that point, that it's not just a checklist of being here or being absent, kind of like call and roll in school. It's not that. And he did make the point that, you know, just an absenteeism is pulling this scripture out of context. And I agree. We need to be here and be involved. But where does it all begin? In order for you to stimulate one another and us all to stimulate one another, we do have to be here. You can't do that from home. You can't do that in a deer stand or in a fishing hole. You cannot stimulate one another. And I cannot stimulate you, or you stimulate me, encouraging one another. How can you encourage someone if you're not in their presence? So yes, in a way, it's not a roll call, but we do have to be present. What excuses do we make when we're not present? The same excuses that we're talking about. And I'm going to use the same qualifier that Zach used last week. If you are physically unable to sit through services, then this lesson here that I'm the part I'm emphasizing now does not pertain to you. But we make the excuse that it's early. You know, the elders decided that we assemble and meet at 9 in the morning, and we might make the excuse that that's awful early on a Sunday morning. Well, what time does everyone have to be at work? More than likely, that's earlier than 9 o'clock in the morning. What time do we have to have the kids and young parents with young children? I've been there, and it is hard to get those kids ready for school, to get them ready for worship services. But we can do it. They make it to school. They make it to a doctor's visit if they have one scheduled. So again, I don't think we can use that as a valid excuse, or we should. Being cooped up in this building with everyone for 3 hours, it's a long span of time. But we have breaks in between, and it's nothing for us to go watch a movie at the movie theater, or to go watch a baseball game or a football game or basketball game. We sit in a chair and we watch that game, or we sit at home and we watch TV for 2 to 3 hours. So, and again, if you are physically unable, I am not addressing that towards you at all. So let's think about the excuses we make in life. Let's think about the excuses we make as it pertains to being involved, being here in the seat, involved in worshiping with fellow Christians. What attitude will we have? As we read in Acts 20 and verse 7, that Paul, there when he was preaching, said, on the first day of the week, when we were gathered together to break bread, Paul began talking to them. Intending to depart the next day, he prolonged his message till midnight. What attitude do we have if you're sitting in that congregation? I mean, this guy goes on and on and on all the way till midnight. They met to break bread, so it was at least earlier in the day when they first met. And I would think, maybe it was afternoon, evening, but even if they met at 6 o'clock in the evening, this guy goes on for 6 hours. I see why the guy fell asleep. But hopefully not. Hopefully we wouldn't have that attitude. And again, I am guilty. There are times where Saturday night, I didn't get to bed when I should have, or I sit up reading or playing on the internet. And in worship services, when Zach's preaching the lesson, he is an awesome speaker, but I let my mind drift and I doze off. What example am I setting for my children? And what am I doing for my spiritual growth by dozing off and letting myself drift? What excuses do I have? I can make up some. I worked late, stayed up late. If I find myself in that situation, why am I not taking notes? Why am I not turning to the scriptures as Zach references them? I don't know. I'm sure I can make an excuse up for that too, but it's on me. Okay, let's turn to Luke chapter 14. Luke 14, verses 15 through 24. And when one of those who were reclining at the table with him heard this and said to him, "Blessed is everyone who shall eat bread in the kingdom of God." But he said to him, "A certain man was giving a big dinner, and he invited many. And at the dinner hour, he sent his slave to say to those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is ready now.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first one said to him, 'I bought a piece of land and need to go out and look at it. Please consider me excused.' And another one said, 'I bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm going to try them out. Please consider me excused.' And another one said, I've married a wife, and for that reason I cannot come. And the slave went back and reported this to his master. And the head of the household became angry, said to his slave, go out at once in the streets and the lanes of the city and bring here the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. The slave said, Master, what you commanded has been done, and still there is room. And the master said to the slave, go into the highways and among the hedges and compel them to come in, and my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of the men who are invited shall taste of my dinner. I think Jesus compels us not to make excuses. If you've not followed the gospel, if you've not put on Christ in baptism, confessing the name of Christ, and repented of your previous sinful life, what excuse do you have? Because we see here that a great supper was prepared in this parable. And people made excuses. You had two very valid business excuses, I thought. The one guy just purchased land and he was going to work the land or see the land. That probably had something to do with his business. He was probably a farmer and he was going to inspect the land. The next guy bought 5 yoke of oxen, which was a huge investment in that day. Be like us buying a $150,000 tractor and it's fixing to be delivered at our place today, and so-and-so asked me to supper. No, I'm probably, you know, going to go see my new tractor or work on my new tractor or whatever. And then what about the last excuse? Here you got a family excuse of a man just got married. He's on his honeymoon. The point is that these excuses were weak because they were asked to this dinner by the master. We are asked, we are invited, we've all had the invitation, and hopefully we will be at that great reward in heaven, which is the final banquet feast that we are all invited to. The final scripture today be Luke chapter 9, verses 57 through 62. And as they were going along the road, someone said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, the foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. And he said to another, follow me. But he said, permit me first to go and bury my father. And he said to him, allow the dead to bury their dead, but as for you, go and proclaim everywhere the kingdom of God. And another also said, I will follow you, Lord, but first permit me to say goodbye to those at home. And Jesus said to him, no one, after putting his head to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. When we make the choice to follow Christ, we do not need worldly excuses to hinder us. If you'll notice in verse 62, he said, no one after putting his head to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. If you're trying to run a plow and you're looking back behind you, what's going to happen? It's just like riding a motorcycle. You're riding a motorcycle and you look off to the side. Involuntarily, you've now pulled your right hand and you're drifting. And if you're guiding a plow, which was handles just like a motorcycle, and you look behind, now you've steered the plow off course. When we look behind at the things of this world and we make excuses for our spiritual life, it guides us off course. And so this morning, I encourage us all not to make excuses. Not to make excuses for spiritual things in this life, things that we will be held accountable for. And if you've not obeyed the gospel and you know the truth, what is your excuse? Because you have been invited by the master this morning. So if you have need, come now while we stand, while we sing.